The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up to the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but became fully awake. They saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While they were still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my son, listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not know at that time to tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
St. Patrick lived and died. We know there is a person by that name. One of the things that I've been giving up the last several Lenten seasons is the whole reality of what is true. When things are all questionable, I want to be one who proclaims there are truths in our lives. Part of my truth is I'm part Irish and part Belgian Flemish. And last year I had the privilege of spending 5 months in Ireland during my sabbatical. And during that time, I never heard anyone say sláinte. I never saw green beer. I never bumped into any leprechauns. I didn't see any snakes. All those things that somehow get connected to this great day. But the people love Patrick and Bridget. It's clear that both of those saints, equally in Ireland, have power because of their stories. They were real people. And like many great people, around them creates a mythology that is based on truth, but might not be fact. We live in a time of lies or fake news, and we live in a time of what is true and fact. We live in a time where God is questioned at all different places and time. What happened in New Zealand is one of those moments where, in the name of God, someone feels it's appropriate to take weapons and kill other people of faith in the name of God. And we know that this has happened from the beginning of human history. But St. Patrick is one of those people that we can either write him off because, oh, that's all fake news, or we can find out that Patrick was a slave. He was an immigrant that was incarcerated, and in that incarceration, he was put on death row, and in that incarceration, because of where he came from, he expected to die in prison or by execution. And in that story of his factual life, he also had an experience of the people of Ireland. And while incarcerated there, he had a conversion moment and came to Jesus, to Christianity, and to the Catholic Church. While he was sent back to England, it was in that moment that he and his life had an experience of faith that told him to return to Ireland and to be a missionary of hope. It's in that truth that all of a sudden snakes come in and he drove out snakes. The mythology of that is that he took the message that he heard in his heart, he felt in his dream, and that moved him back to Ireland as a priest and then as a bishop and as a leader of faith. Patrick and Bridget are equally lifted up in Ireland, equally in a culture that sometimes we want to see only masculine saints. They give us masculine and feminine saints. And all over Ireland, there are sacred wells and sacred ancient places that honor the walk and the journey and the lives of Bridget and Patrick. I say that tonight not only because it's the feast of St. Patrick, but it's because our scripture invites us into having that same truthful experience of God. The first reading invites us to be able to look out in nature and to see that all the stars in the sky are a reminder that our God promised all of that to all of us. One of the first times that I went to San Quentin and experienced those who were living on death row, it was very clear during that night that I spent in vigil that as I was looking at the Bay of Oakland, so also those 700 plus people on death row were looking out into the same bay. And on that night, there was a beautiful moon and an amazing array of stars. And that scripture was clear in my heart, that the stars, the moon, and the sun rises on the good and the bad. That in God's perspective, from the first reading, we are all loved by God. That what we might consider separations and differences, God sees us as God's children. That first reading reminds me that in the historical moment of the moratorium in our state that joins other states, we are beginning to say that truth, that biblical truth, that fact that God's love is not segregated by religion or by culture or race or anything else that divides us, that God's love and God's mercy and God's naming of us is for each of us. That is truth for us as believers of faith. And then the gospel takes us in the midst of this Lenten journey while Jesus is in this place of the desert, moving toward his own execution. It moves us toward resurrection. And so tonight, the scripture invites us into that mountaintop. In Ireland, there are several mountaintops that are considered very sacred. Croke Mountain is one of those mountains in which people, and I'm sure Monsignor Conley and Father Dennis and others who are living in Ireland as a regular basis as they go annually, they would say that those sacred mountains are places that people go up in pilgrimage, not because they have beautiful vision and sight, which they do, but because those are places that people, Patrick, Bridget and others, have encountered God. And the gospel invites us to that place, that sacred mountain, in which in the midst of Jesus' preaching and his accusation, his being tried, his being executed, that in the midst of that painful story, Jesus takes us, to the disciples, to the mountain, and in that place, they hear a voice. They encounter God, like Patrick and Bridget and so many others before us. And on that mountain, or in that sacred created space, they encountered the voice of God. To Patrick it was, return to Ireland and bring them the good news. For you and I, that message might be, open up the door to a neighbor that you have a disagreement with. Make sure you connect with your grandchildren, that maybe there's something that separates you. Make sure you connect with that person at work that because they worship differently, or they speak a different language, or their status within the culture of the United States might be in some limited situation, to realize that they are brothers and sisters in Christ. On Friday afternoon, because of what happened in New Zealand, I joined our Muslim brothers and sisters in their afternoon worship and praise. And it was a profound moment in which they were filled with gratitude that we, as people of faith, might be in solidarity with them in their pain, in their struggle, in this moment in which someone in a manifesto said they should be killed, and then he acted on that and killed dozens and harmed dozens more. So tonight I invite us to take a moment to go up to that mountain that Jesus takes the disciples, that mountain that Patrick walked up, the mountain that Moses walked up, the mountain that many of our ancestors have walked up to, a mountain that not only gives a vision, a bigger vision, that sees the presence of God, but it's in that mountain that they listened and they heard the voice of God. This is my beloved child. Listen to him. In the midst of that mythology of what is around Jesus, how that was said, the truth that the scripture invites us to is that Jesus not only was in relationship with God, Creator and Spirit, but he allowed the disciples, he allows us into that relationship. He allows us to take a moment in the midst of our busy day to close our eyes, whether it's on a mountaintop or in the midst of a freeway or in the midst of doing home chores or in the midst of teaching a class, that in the midst of our days to close our eyes, to pause, and in that moment have this mountain moment in which God speaks to us. And that God's message to us will never be a message of hate, will never be a message of division, will never be a message that puts us down or puts other people down, but it will be a message that lifts us up. You are my beloved child, God says to each of us tonight. Listen to him. Listen to her. So what are people hearing from you and I? What is our lives speaking so that when people see us and hear us, do they hear the voice of God, the voice of love, the voice of mercy, the voice of truth, the voice of forgiveness, the voice of welcoming, the voice of acceptance? This Lenten season invites us once again, if you're fasting from something or you're fasting for something, whatever you've made a decision to do during Lent or during the parish mission this last week, is there a place that says, do I hear God speaking to me? It wasn't just for Patrick. It wasn't just for Bridget. It wasn't just for Moses. It wasn't for Peter and James and the apostles. That message is for each and every one of us because we are made in the image and likeness of God. Can I pause on a mountain, not necessarily a mountain, in a place, and in that place, hear God's voice, God's message, God's invitation to love? As some of you know, I work at my daytime job as a chaplain at a hospital, and we host a school for chaplains. And we do a lot of interviewing during the year for the school that is ongoing. And in most situations, when people come to the hospital, many people come in trauma. They either get hit by a car, have a major heart attack, some other kind of process, and they either get treated, surgery, medicine, they go home and survive, or they die. But there's another component of people, and I'm sure you know people, who have long-term illnesses, who are in the hospital for months, if not years. And one of the people we interviewed lately was in medical care for about 5 years because of a medical treatment. And as we heard this person's story, it was very clear that in reflection, he experienced not the quick, God will heal you, God will take care of you, because he and himself, for all those years, it wasn't happening. The pain remained. Another surgery happened. He wasn't getting well. But out of that long-term process of illness and surgeries and recovery, he experienced a mountain moment in which God spoke to him that in the midst of his long-term pain and illness and treatment, God was there. So I invite us to take a moment to close your eyes, not to fall asleep, but to be awake. And in that moment, I just invite you, where have you experienced a mountain, a place where God has wanted to speak to you? It might have been at a beach, it might have been at a mountain, it might have been in a breakthrough of a relationship, it might have been in therapy, it might have been when, out of the blue, a grandmother, an uncle, an aunt, someone lifted you up, gave you an embrace, told you that you were special. Have we had a moment, a mountaintop moment, when you were embraced and affirmed and loved by God? For some of us, it might have been one moment, like Patrick in England when he came back to Ireland, like the disciples in the gospel. For many, it might not have been a moment, but it's like every Sunday when we come to church, we have the opportunity to come away to the mountain. And on that Croke Mountain, on that mountain in the desert of Israel, in this place that Jesus invites us to, God is transfigured. God is made manifest. And that God gives you and I meaning to the joys and the struggles, the truth and the lies, the brokenness and the healings that you and I experience. So I invite us during the rest of the Mass to pause in the midst of the prayers and the songs to hear God speak. Sometimes it's a song. Some of you might have heard the scripture tonight and might have touched you for the first unique time. Are we open to the mountaintop? And on that mountaintop, God affirms and blesses and lifts up and calls us to be that blessing to others. One of the other gifts of going to Ireland was encountering the voice of John O'Donohue, a great Irish poet. And I invite you to look at the websites and the books that are in the bookstore. He died about 10 years ago, and by the grace of God, I was there for a weekend in which his family put on a whole series of workshops, talks on John's life. And at the core of John's life, as he got in touch with his Celtic Irish roots, was the belief that we are called not only to receive the blessings of God, but to be the blessings of God to others. That was his mountaintop. As I spent several days at his tombstone on the west coast of Ireland, at a place looking at the Atlantic, and the next place across the Atlantic would have been New York, in that sacred place of his holy memory, I also heard that voice, a voice of love, a voice of blessing. And so, as we have been invited to the mountaintop with Jesus and the disciples, may this night be a mountaintop for each of us. in which we hear God's voice. You are my beloved child. And he invites other people, like with Jesus, to listen to us, to listen to our lives, to listen to our truths, to listen to our hope, to listen to our blessings. May that be true. May it bring blessings to the world. Amen.